Hello everyone, you're listening to the Aviation Reporter, your podcast about everything related to airports, airlines and aviation industry. In this episode, in collaboration with EMA Systems, you will hear a mind-blowing interview with Orkan Altantis. He's a director consulting at Eurospace and Defense. We're going to have a great discussion with Jean-Luc Devichat. Let's jump to it.
So my name is Orkun Altıntaş. I'm the Director of Consulting for Aerospace and Defense at the advisory firm Frost & Sullivan, based here in sunny Dubai. And I'm currently looking after Europe, Middle East, Africa, and South Asia. Predominantly, I'm covering everything to do with aviation, with an emphasis on civilian aviation as well.
Very interesting. Now, we have been talking to each other because you're especially focused on the passenger experience. You recently also were presenting at the Dubai Airport Show. Can you give us a bit more information as to what you see now? We are, of course, leaving COVID well behind us. What do you see as the key trends, upcoming trends in passenger experience?
I think first and foremost, just to touch up on the COVID itself. So it is true that we are moving from pandemic to endemic at the moment. And we are seeing the increase in passenger volumes with airlines, with airports, especially going in the right direction. So we still have a bit of time in front of us before we see pre-pandemic levels. But the movement is in the right direction, which is encouraging. Unfortunately, very recently, what we have been seeing is part of the transition problem as airlines and airports are recovering. So you would have seen from the news, obviously, in Europe, in the US, especially in the UK, flights being cancelled, bags being misplaced, long queues at the airports, combination of factors, obviously, the relatively quick opening of borders, the busy summer period, keeping in mind both airports and airlines who have arguably suffered the most from COVID, both in terms of passenger volumes, but more importantly, financially, getting the infrastructure back in place, both the people infrastructure, if you will, but also the other relevant parts of the operation has caused a lot of issues, unfortunately. So this is something which we were expecting, and this was actually helped by the fact that a lot of borders have opened up very quickly. So the good news is we're at a better place. We're going in the right direction. We were expecting leisure travel to come back much quicker. First and foremost, domestic, where those markets exist. Then by leisure traffic, obviously, with a lot of pent-up demand. There is a slow return of the very important premium traffic, business traffic, corporate traffic. At the moment, doesn't look like there was ever a pandemic at all. There's queues everywhere full of passengers. But the reality is globally, we are still recovering. The pandemic has brought on certain urgencies upon the industry, not just the airlines, but to the airports as well, which directly affects the passenger. And I think it's fair to say that the passenger experience, at least the expectation of the passengers, have changed somewhat. So what do we mean by this? If we start at the airport, there's an increasing emphasis on contactless travel. So this is anything from online check-in, self-baggage drop, all the way going through immigration, through e-gates with minimal contact. Again, at the gates, boarding the aircraft, again, minimum contacts, sometimes using facial recognition, which is becoming widely available, as well as iris screening as well. So the concept is about moving to a contactless experience. That's on the airport side. On the aircraft side, inside the cabin, it really isn't that much different. Now, in fairness, if you asked me this question a year ago, the answers would have been a bit more different. Remember, after the traffic started returning slowly, about the air quality on board the aircraft, and there's a lot of discussions about HEPA filters. But the industry, both the airlines, airports, but also regulatory authorities, have worked very hard and very closely to really ensure people that HEPA filters is nearly 100% effective. So that's not really so much of a concern anymore. To the same extent, again, touching surfaces on board the aircraft is again less of an extent. The World Health Organization did come out earlier this year and say COVID is an airborne virus. And while there is still a limited chance of droplets being on surfaces, transmitting to other people, it's still possible. But again, that has an effect on the passenger experience. So the passengers, for example, had concerns about, you know, sitting very close to each other. Obviously, that social distancing was important. Even bigger challenge when you're flying low cost, obviously, with the denser seating. If you have, for example, on other airlines, if you have in-flight entertainment, simple things as, you know, touching the armrest, touching the screen in front of you was a concern. So the two main trends we're seeing at the moment is really the requirement by passengers for increased connectivity on board the aircraft, which also has benefits to the airline, which we can go into separately. But also another specific one is the provision of onboard power. So more and more you're seeing in airlines individual power plugs that has actually become, I think, a necessity in today's world, as well as USB connections. Again, it differs from low-cost airlines to maybe full-service airlines. But one thing that we are seeing, and one thing that the airlines are seeing, is the importance of increased digital connectivity and power availability on board the aircraft.
Coming to that part, because you said you just made the difference between kind of low cost and then, let's say, premium. Do you think, if I can ask you a specific question, that do you think people will be willing to pay more just to have those features which they consider to become more and more important in their travel?
I think so. Whether airlines will make those certain services available free of charge or for a fee as part of their product offering will, of course, have an impact on whether a passenger potentially chooses one airline over another. But I do believe that there is actually demands that actually justifies a certain percentage of the passengers who are willing to pay for this service on board the aircraft. So the service might be connectivity, Wi-Fi connectivity, but increasingly we believe that change, for example, in the way people want to access the onboard amenities. So, for example, let's take the in-flight entertainment. Increasingly, we're seeing a lot of airlines, certainly for ultra-low cost, low cost, and some hybrid airlines, where entertainment is actually based on a server onboard the aircraft. And since everybody has some form of device that they can actually access that, those services, where you can see the flight map, you can actually see the menu, you can order your food through your smartphone, or you can actually access the onboard entertainment that is available through the phone. That is something that is becoming quite popular, and I think it will gradually replace the hard product, at least for full-service airlines at the back of the cabin in economy. For sure, for premium classes, premium economy, business, first class, certainly you will need to have a hard product in place. But I think increasingly we will be seeing most of the economy seats at the back not having that, for two reasons. Simpler is preferred by the increasingly mobile passengers at the moment, regardless of which generation they are. But also it's a factor of weight. Weight is very, very important aboard the aircraft. Just to give you an idea, based on IATA's estimations, and this is an average figure, they believe that to fly 1 kilo of weight in their fleet for 1 year costs the airlines around $10,000. Now, this amount can go up to $20,000 or $30,000, depending on the business model of the airline, the flight hours involved, the cost of fuel. So carrying that 1 kilo over a year actually has a significant cost. So removing that from onboard the aircraft, the individual seat backs, is something that the airlines are doing. But also it gives them the ability to use enhanced capabilities of their smart devices for other things. For example, if you need the flight attendant, you press the phone, somebody comes in. Passengers can actually do this from their phones, where they can order and it gets delivered to their seat. That's one aspect. Also, having that enhanced connectivity of the aircraft with the ground really opens up other potential revenue opportunities as well. So we believe IFE will be an area that's going to see some change towards this direction going forward into the future.
Do you see this evolution is a bit more static in, let's say, the premium classes, where then the economy class will, just like choosing what luggage they want to take along and pay for it, also choose the kind of connectivity they want on board, and whether it contains the internet, whether it contains entertainment, whether it contains a do-it-yourself kind of environment to communicate with the onboard staff. That's the extra option that will become available.
Exactly. I mean, one thing that airlines have been doing very aggressively, and in fairness, they have been looking into this before, the boardrooms and airlines and airports, especially the airlines, have understood the importance of digitalization. It's not a question of if, it's a question of when. And having your digitalization initiatives in place will really help you remain competitive in the marketplace. So, for example, increasingly you see airlines using the vast amount of data that they have on their customers, their regular flyers, through their frequent flyer programs, to really provide individualized products and services. Again, obviously, with the aim of giving a better service, but also there's a revenue element to that as well, the possibility of generating higher yields from those passengers. Using that ability, you have a lot of data, you have big data analytics, you have artificial intelligence. So all of these are actually at the moment developing quite fast, and some airlines have done a good headway in this, also some other airlines. But this is, again, as you mentioned, evolution. Every part of the ecosystem is actually evolving to a certain extent, and the onboard is certainly no different.
Okay, that's a very interesting evolution. And of course, it makes flying more attractive, and it looks for new revenue sources for the airlines.
Potential revenue opportunity, for example, for with enhanced connectivity. The passengers sitting on board the aircraft using the airline's portal can actually pre-order their duty-free before arriving at the airport. So that gets communicated down, and as they land, they pick up their bag, they go to the duty-free store, it is there for them to pick up. So that could be done in partnership with the airline and the retailer, duty-free retailer. Same thing, if you're flying on holiday, if you forgot your insurance, or if you need to make a booking for a tour or for a car, you can do that from on board the aircraft as well. So, and people really can't do that from backseat screen as such, but they can do that from their tablets and from their mobile phones. So that's one thing I think that we will see increasingly going forward, not just for service on board the aircraft. The example that I gave before for ordering a glass of water or a sandwich or something through your smartphone, so it goes to the cabin and they bring it to you, all the way down to outside the aircraft for any purchases or any information that you may need before arriving at your destination.
I think it's a very interesting evolution. So everything to make life a bit more enjoyable, but at the same time also, of course, new ways of spending your money, even if you're only on board. My next question was then related to the low-cost airlines, and let's call it the normal airlines. Will this become part of the offering, or how they will do the competition, manage a competition? The one with more services will be a bit more expensive, but at least you have the feeling that you get more, while the low-cost can also try to get on the same track. How does that kind of competition play?
I think what is key at the moment when a passenger makes a decision, There are a myriad of factors, obviously. Departure airport, departure time. But more often than not, and I am generalizing here, more often than not, it's a question of price. And one thing that we have seen with low-cost airlines all over the world, and especially, for example, in Europe, with the likes of Ryanair, Wizz Air, and EasyJet, it's all about price. And people are traveling for fares unheard of about maybe 15, 20, 25 years ago, before the onset of the low-cost airlines, at least in Europe. The effects of digitalization within the way the airlines run, and also certain services on board the aircraft, I think that will become uniform. So, for example, having that server on board the aircraft that allows people to access the in-flight entertainment or other capabilities for a fee. Certainly, that's ancillary revenue as far as a low-cost airline is concerned, and it could be ancillary revenue for a full-service airline, or it could be free, but it could be part of the product offering. So, again, it's difficult to compare low-cost airlines and full-service carriers.
What are the things we need to remember? Because we started out about the impact that COVID, but also many other pandemics that could still be coming. has been having on the travel industry, all the way up to how we see the kind of offering that passengers get, how it's changing. Are there some kind of key, let's say, kind of the three key elements we need to remember how the travel industry, and then more specifically the passenger experience, will be impacted in the next 5 years? Are there three, four key takeaways we can just summarize before we go?
The key thing at the moment right now is returning back to the pre-pandemic levels, traffic levels. So that's what we're going through at the moment. But this increased digitalization, as I said, has been realized by airlines and airports, and it's already on the ground. But now we've seen, the likes of, for example, IATA, who worked very, very hard and in a coordinated way to really help kickstart aviation again with the digital travel pass. Obviously, with every country having different requirements, with PCR tests, with the number of vaccinations. And keep in mind, there's so many countries in the world, but some have borders open, some have them closed, some open them, then close them again. The issue is, how well have we dealt with the recovery?
If we talk about the digital passenger, and because this is the kind of the direction we're going to, everything via his device, even his health, can be monitored, so that we are all sure that if something is happening, we can intervene faster, and we can intervene when it's really needed. So that's a bit kind of, let's say, that the conclusion about that specific part. And what I also like, what you said about the kind of the let's call it event management, because COVID is all about dealing with events. And I think the lesson we have learned here from COVID is that we need to have a much better uniform approach. And like you said before, this is not a one-off. There will be more to come. I think kind of managing the events, managing the passenger and his health, and monitoring it, and making the passenger also much more comfortable once he comes on board by choosing all the things he likes, and by giving him, let's say, all the different elements that will make his travel fun. These are the kind of nice trends I think we see, and telemedicine in combination with travel, I think, is still quite new. So I'm very curious to see what will happen there, and whether the Emirates example will be followed by others.
And again, there's a customer experience, a passenger product offering side of it. There's also a revenue generation and cost optimization side of it for airlines as well. This connectivity, increased connectivity on board, whether it's ATG or ATS, which is aircraft to ground, or aircraft to satellite, or GEO. And again, both of them have different combinations of benefits depending on the geographical location. Increased connectivity on board will be required. Well, one recent airline I spoke to in the Indian subcontinent, as they launched this, they have the server on board the aircraft, and they found that on average 90% of the passengers are actually connecting on every single flight. That's an amazing amount. 90% of passengers are connecting. But at the moment, they did say it's free, and they're potentially looking at, charging for that. So for sure, that percentage will go down. But ultimately, I think it becomes a profit center for the airline itself. And availability of onboard power, again, is key. Finally, very finally, we said that airlines and airports have suffered. Airlines have suffered greatly. But going forward, I believe it's the marketplace that is awaiting the airlines is going to be more competitive than ever, especially for those airlines that are, depending on the higher yields generated by the premium classes. In the discussions and some analysis that we have made, the overall view with the industry stakeholders that we have spoken to, they believe that around 20 to 30% of premium traffic, corporate traffic, will not return.
Thank you very much for this very enlightening conversation, Arkun. Very interesting. So we've learned a lot about the passenger, but also the ongoing challenges airlines are faced with. So thank you very much for your time today. And on behalf of the audience, thanks again.
Thank you so much for joining us today. This podcast has been brought to you by EMA Systems. EMA helps airports optimize their ground operations by correlating real-time data through AI, including ACDM. You can visit www.ema.euro to find out more.